Hey, what's up, kiddies? This is Bill from OutsideTheCinema.com, and you're listening to the Gore Press Gorecast. It fucking sucks, but deal with it.
The most high name of the most high spirit. In the name of the most high line of Judea, Haile Selassie. In the name of the most high Duvalier and the Tantant Makut, I command you, awaken! Awaken! What happened here?
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
And we're back with another Gore Press Gorecast.
We haven't
had a run this long ever. It's amazing. Something's going to happen soon, and then we're not going to do one for like a year. I can feel it.
Don't say that.
Well, yeah. So, as part of our month, oh, we should introduce ourselves really, shouldn't we?
I'm dangerous. Keen to get straight into it there.
Yeah, really. Yeah, whatevs. I'm Dangerous Jamie. Joining me, as always, is the queen of changing her hair colour every couple of weeks. It's Sarah. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. So what happened to the tricky commentary?
Oh, we're not sure. We did a second take of the intro, and we think that might have recorded over the actual commentary. Yay!
Oh man.
Yeah, so we're going to have to do that again at some point. But
Are you doing a street trash commentary sometime soon?
Hopefully next week. Yeah.
Ooh.
Just need to pin everybody down, get them in the same place and get that done. Because I think we're going to do the Child's Play one straight after.
Right.
Just get blind drunk.
Yeah, just get a bit boozy and then plow through it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the idea of it.
Seems the least painful method.
Yeah, I wish we got blind drunk when we had to re-record that Nightmare on Elm Street episode again.
Why didn't we?
I don't know. It's a bit lame being blind drunk and then just being on Skype.
And then just going home and like, oh, forever alone, drunk. Yeah, it's not quite the same, is it?
Totally.
At least doing a commentary, it's sort of social.
Yeah.
Slightly more acceptable. Anyway.
The competitions that you announced last week are now live on the site, aren't they?
Yes. I think we talked about the one that was sort of in conjunction with the release of the Chernobyl Diaries. You don't win anything to do with the Chernobyl Diaries, weirdly, but
no.
You can win sort of a bundle of 5 DVDs. So, going into that one.
Yeah.
And we've had another one since then. For Lesbian Vampire Warriors, I think? Which just sounds like a classic to me.
Well, I mean, if Lesbian Vampire Killers are anything to go by, then whatever.
I don't think it's anything to do with that.
No, I think it's like Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah. We have actually had entries, I was surprised. But
that's good.
Yeah, so that expires on the 30th, so you've got, well, when will this go live?
Tuesday, it will be the...
Yeah, so when this goes 26th. Out, you should still have a couple days to enter that one, so...
Yeah.
Go do that.
Do it. So let's jump into this. Oh, you can do that at gorepress.com, should mention that.
Yeah.
So let's jump into this. Now we're at week 2 of Melt Month.
Mm-hmm.
I was really stoked for Melt Month. But you went and picked this
past
fucking
tense.
Film.
Well then, wasn't this was your choice?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
You
I wanted to do Street Trash.
You picked the films, and I just picked this one out of the 4 that you gave me.
instead of Street Trash, which
because
is
I thought
awesome.
Street Trash would make a better commentary. I'm thinking for the good of the show here. I'm throwing myself on a grenade.
Yeah, you certainly did.
So today we're covering 1977's The Incredible Melting Man.
But incredible that, is a stretch.
Yeah. But before that, we're going to talk about Rick Baker, because he did the effects on the film. Mm-hmm. And he's dead good, mostly.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we know a lot about Rick Baker, or a bit anyway. He's obviously won, what, 6 Oscars? 7 Oscars?
I don't know, he's done pretty well for himself, hasn't he?
I know he won an Oscar for Men in Black, and he won an Oscar for, like... I think he won an Oscar for American Werewolf. He definitely won an Oscar for Men in Black. I don't know what else, though. Maybe we can pick them up as we go along. So let's go through his career.
Let's have a look.
So he started off in basically like Larry Cohen. Well, Schlock was the John Landis film, wasn't it? Which I haven't seen. I really want to friggin' see it.
He did It's Alive. That was Larry Cohen, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like...
I love that film.
It is great. And Cop Killers, while not a Larry Cohen direction, I don't think, but I think he was involved somewhere. And Squirm is... Who did Squirm? Jeff Lieberman, obviously, did Squirm. And Squirm had pretty good effects. It's Alive had pretty great effects too.
Yeah.
The 70s version of King Kong.
Which is my favourite version.
It is a good version. I haven't seen that one in ages.
I re-bought it recently.
Mm.
I don't know why it's my favourite version. People normally disagree with me, but I love it. I love it.
Well,
I've seen
think...
it as a kid and just adoring it.
This is one of those ones, isn't it? Like the one that sort of sticks with you, like... When you watch Goonies now, it's kind of a bit shit.
I don't know.
I think, was that
did
his...
Did we have this conversation?
I think we probably
Or did
have.
I read an article? Somebody talking about the fact that is Goonies actually all that good? Is it all everything it's made out to be? Or is it, like, childhood memories colouring your opinion?
Well, like,
we
most of the people...
That?
I don't know if we did, but most of the people that I know who didn't see it as a kid don't think it's that good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, yeah. Who knows? Maybe there's an element
indeed.
Of that.
Yeah. Would you say that King Kong was his first mainstream film?
Looking
at the list here, I'd say it is.
Yeah.
Obviously,
Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars was next year.
Yeah, that's a tiny bit mainstream.
I mean, I think someone... somewhere is watching Star Wars now, probably.
Just one person.
Yeah. The Incredible Melting Man, fuck that movie. He did the It Lives Again, the remake, mm-hmm. the sequel, even.
Yep.
He did The Howling, which has fucking amazing effects. I love The Howling's effects.
The Funhouse.
Yeah. Which we always talked about in a past episode, the effects weren't so great.
But I think there was, I can't remember what we touched on, but I think there was some sort of excuse as to why it wasn't his fault.
They were meant to shoot it all in low light, or they told him it was only shot in like low light,
yeah.
So it didn't have to be too on it, but then obviously it wasn't.
Mm.
American Werewolf in London was his next one, 1981, and everybody loves the effects in American Werewolf in London, don't they?
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't know anyone who doesn't think that they're some of the best effects. Ghost Story, what else? Videodrome has amazing effects. I mean, he's an amazing effects guy. What am I going to say? What's for us to say? Like, even... like, we'll get into this, but even the effects in The Incredible Motor Man are pretty great.
I don't want to give too much away, but that is the best part of the film.
Yeah. Like, basically, he's done a lot of stuff. And, it's all pretty much good. It's weird how he moves away from the sort of sci-fi and horror stuff as it goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly seems to. Oh, he did It's Alive 3 as well.
Yeah.
Michael Moriarty. I love Michael Moriarty.
I guess we'll go talk about Michael Moriarty a lot next week.
Yes, definitely. Michael Moriarty and his wonderful overacting.
Yeah. Do you remember the Beauty and the Beast TV series?
No.
From the 90s, do you not?
No.
Surprised, you were pretty... You were what, 20 when it started? So...
Oh, it'd been a while. You had to make fun of how old I was at some point.
You
Ron
should
Perlman,
watch it.
No way.
Yeah, you should definitely watch it. I think you would really like it.
Okay. I shall look into that. Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't seem familiar. I think that passed me by somehow.
Mm. Like, I didn't obviously didn't see it at the time because I was 5. But, I definitely, like, watched it later on and really, really kind of enjoyed it. I mean, it's a bit cheesy and, like, what's the word? Like, soapy.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed it.
Oh, he did Matinee as well. I like Matinee.
The effects in Matinee are meant to be bad, though, aren't they?
Well, yeah. It was... taking the piss, well, not taking the piss, it was more lovable than taking the piss, but
yeah,
they were sort of trying to replicate that era, weren't they?
Yeah.
So in that respect, they were very good.
They were. He did the special makeup that made Martin What's-His-Doodle look like Bela Lugosi. What's his name? Martin Landau. I always forget his name. He's in Entourage. I always can never remember his name, but like Martin Landau doesn't look anything like Bela Lugosi.
No.
It's incredible, like the transformation in that film.
I'm trying to picture it. It's been such a long time since I've seen that.
If you go on the IMDb, there are pictures.
Well,
they picture it for you.
Thanks for that. I would never have thought to look there. Oh, he also did The Frighteners.
Yes, which we talked about recently. I love The Frighteners.
And we're going to cover that soon.
Yeah,
hopefully.
We are. Yeah, we are. He did Escape from LA. Did he do Escape from New York?
Don't think so. Doesn't look like it.
But then, like, it's all... After that, it's all Men in Black, Mighty Joe, Young... Naughty Professor 2, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Planet of the Apes, Men in Black 2, The Ring, The Haunted Mansion, Hellboy, The Ring 2, X-Men, Click, Norbit. What happened?
Oh,
Tropic Thunder, Enchanted, The Wolfman. And we won an Oscar for The Wolfman as well.
What happen?
I think people started to take note of how good he was, and then he was like, well, shit. These are proper movies with real directors, not The Incredible Melting Man, directed by Tooley McYawnfest.
Oh, this is going to be a great review, isn't it?
I have no idea what we're going to talk about. But let's find out. We'll come back after this break and tell you all about The Incredible Melting Man. After this.
Last time on Explodify.
Ryan Thompson is a disease, and I am Robert Smith of The Cure.
Mulder's voiceover tells us how the disappearance of his sister has fueled his quest for the truth. In case you forgot that his, you know, sister was abducted when he was young.
Wait, I'll get naked on a webcam? What the fuck did I just come into?
A shape-shifting alien.
The aliens have begun to colonize our planet.
Skinner tells Mulder to terminate his investigation immediately.
Agent Weiss shoots the bounty hunter who bleeds green ooze, which seems to be toxic to the agent.
So there's different kinds of aliens and different kinds of green blood, and the different blood does different things. I want some goddamn continuity.
Maybe that's in the second episode when Samantha is... Oh, spoiler! Oh my god. I'm going to cut that out.
Scully takes the bus, disguised in a tracksuit, not very well disguised,
No. This bit really made me laugh when she's like sneaking around dressed in the tracksuit with the little, you know, like, oh, no one's following me. And then she just gets on the bus. Hi, Mulder. This is where I'm going. I'll see you later. Yep.
She's revealed to be Mulder's sister, Samantha.
Samantha, she's alive. No, wait. She's alive.
The cold is keeping him alive.
Later, Mulder visits Scully at her motel. At that moment, she receives a phone call from Mulder.
There's a lot of goo in this episode.
This episode and the one that we'll review next week were the first time that I actually thought that the myth arc was going somewhere, and I have full confidence that that's completely going to be shot to shit as I continue the series.
Hey, Mom, I miss your vagina.
What? And we're out. Bye.
I apologize for the odd nature of this cast. It's just difficult to talk about one episode without the other, so maybe next week we'll be a bit more sort of cohesive and we'll do it.
Next week, full context to everything that happened in this episode.
Well, let's not make promises we can't keep now.
Okay, fine. Next week, random banter about next week's episode as well as this week's episode.
And I want to apologize to anyone who I have offended, especially you, Mom.
And we're back, and we're going to talk about Big Sigh. The Incredible Melody Man, right?
Let's do this.
I'm going to give you a brief synopsis. It's from 1977, directed by someone, William Sachs. And it's about some guy who goes to space and walks on Saturn, which is a gas giant, so you can't walk on Saturn for one, right? And him and his, like, crew of space dudes, space dicks, all come back, and they all melt apart from one of them, who melts slowlier. That's a thing, isn't it?
That's slower. It can be a thing now. More slowly.
More slowly. Or he melts a bit for a while and then doesn't melt for ages,
and
then
melts
quite
really
a lot in
rapidly.
5 minutes. Yeah. he's been kept in some sort of government facility for people who melt, and then he escapes by walking out of the door after a portly nurse, and then terrorizes a bunch of people.
Does he though?
Kind of by looking a bit scary and having to eat human flesh or something to maintain his brain. While being pursued by an earnest doctor who really, really likes crackers, and a surly, like, military guy who is surly, who disappears, who dies.
Different to crackers.
Yeah, and then the guy teams up with the local sheriff to save the day, or to, like, forget all about the melting guy and go about their normal business while the guy just melts in a corner somewhere.
That might be the most enthusiastic you've ever sounded.
Are you
losing the will to live as we speak?
This film was worse than Carnival of Souls.
I disagree.
I agree with myself.
It was bad. It was really bad. But I don't think it was worse than Carnival of Souls.
It features the lead actor, or the guy that plays the melting man, was also in Gorecast favourite Microscopic Liquid Subway to Oblivion, and a bunch of other nothings. But was he even in it, this guy? I don't know. He was a face at the beginning. I can't imagine them putting a reasonably successful soap actor in a gooey suit for 85 minutes.
I don't know. He is listed as Steve West, in brackets, the melting man. So maybe it was him.
Maybe. So I didn't know very much about this, apart from it was about a dude that melts.
Yeah, ditto.
And so I was almost stoked going into it, especially when I saw Rick Baker's name. But I wasn't. I thought it might have been about some sort of hero who used his power to melt some sort of thing that would save people's lives. Like, did you ever watch Kablam?
I don't know.
When you were sort of in your early 20s.
Stop it. Pack it in.
It was like a Nickelodeon show about, it was like a bunch of sketches for kids.
Yes.
And one of them was like, it was about a bunch of dolls, like, and they were a superhero team, and one of them was Meltman with the power to melt. And I thought it might have been like that. And one of them was, I don't remember what his name was, but he was super strong and super naked.
It just vaguely rings a bell.
Well, I thought it might have been slightly similar to that. But it wasn't. It wasn't that at all. It
absolutely
was this.
Wasn't.
Mm. Like, it just sort of mumbles along where, like, it's the complete opposite movie to Body Melt.
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas, like, Body Melt's got a lot of story, a lot of things that it's trying to say.
It's got too much going on, if anything.
Yeah, and, like, every like, scene is punctuated by something pretty gross.
Yeah.
This thing, whatever it is, I don't even know if I want to call it a movie. It features someone melting sometimes.
At differing rates.
But mostly, it's the lead guy, Dr. Ted Nelson, talking about crackers or riding around in a car
and not
shouting his own name.
He does shout his own name a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about this now, because we planned to discuss the Mystery Science Theatre 3000 episode as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
But you couldn't bring yourself to watch the film a second time.
I tried watching it.
Okay.
I got about halfway through it and was just like, no matter how much, right, that Crow and Servo and Mike... I mean, it doesn't help that it wasn't a particularly good... Like, the Mystery Science Theatre segments weren't too good.
No.
Like, the whole thing about Crow and Servo selling a script to Pearl. I don't even like Pearl. I hate Pearl. Fuck you, Pearl. That whole thing didn't really get me either. So... And they made a lot of the same jokes that me and Andy made when we watched the film anyway.
Oh, okay. I mean, I know their thing is sort of singing over the incidental music.
Yeah.
And just, obviously, they brought up the fact that he said his name so much, quite a lot.
He really did. He says Steve a lot, too.
He does. But my brain all morning has just been going, Ted Nelson. And it won't go away. But I don't know. I thought the episode was pretty good, aside from the wraparound segments, as you mentioned.
Mm.
But yeah, Phil watched it with me last night, who does the gormetry with me and Rosie, and we said the same thing. I just sort of... I even... When the film had finished, I even turned it off before the end segment had finished, because I was like, nah, can't be bothered.
I think the Pearl just ruins it. I think,
yeah.
Like, without TV's Frank, what have you got? Not much. I mean, TV's Frank was so, like, instrumental in making Mystery Science Theatre work. Like, he helped pick the films, he was a strong writer on there. I mean, he's written some other good stuff that I really love, like, I think he was one of the key people in Invader Zim, which I love.
Oh, cool.
And he does Cinematic Titanic now with Joel.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, Mike and the Servo, what's his name? Tom.
I can never remember. Mike Nelson, Bill Corbett, and I can never remember the third guy.
Oh, Bill Corbett, Servo. And it's not... Is it? It's not Trace Ballew. Is it who's Crow and Forrester? It's someone else. But they do Riff Tracks, which is eminently more successful than Cinematic Titanic. But I love them both. I mean, it hurts a little bit that Mike Nelson is so fucking right-wing. But whatever.
Oh, well. Yeah. So where did this episode sort of come in the grand scheme of things? It must have been one of the later
six.
Ones, right?
Yeah, season six. I think there's 10 seasons.
10, yeah. Because it must have been 90s, right? Because I think there were a couple of mentions of things like Mrs. Doubtfire and...
Yeah.
A couple of things that made me think, oh, that must be one of the later ones then.
I think it was 95, 94.
Okay. So how long did Joel do it for then?
Three seasons. I think it was maybe 4.5 seasons. I think Mike comes in sort of middle of season 4. Maybe it's middle of season 5.
Okay.
But obviously... I think the difference between... we're just talking about Mystery Science Theatre now at this point. But the difference between Mike and Joel is pretty massive.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mike was a writer when Joel was still on it. And he appears in some of the episodes. He's Torgo in the...
Manos.
In the Manos episode.
Yeah.
And he sort of appears every now and then. But I think Mike's... They take the piss a lot more. I think Joel was a bit more loving and a bit more sort of accepting of like how shitty the movies are, whereas yeah. Mike is just sort of like, this is shit, I want to rip it to pieces.
Yeah. I mean, getting back to the film for a second, you were talking about your expectations, you were sort of a little bit stoked to watch this.
Yeah.
Because we did sort of decide on Melt Month and then get a little bit excited about it, didn't we?
We definitely did.
But I think my expectations for this weren't very good. It's a DVD that I bought maybe 2 years ago, and it's been sitting in my massive to-watch pile ever since then, and I haven't brought myself to watch it. And I think one of the reasons... the fact that there is a Mystery Science Theatre episode of that film kind of speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Well, definitely. I mean, it definitely deserves everything it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the other thing... have you got the DVD?
No.
Right, okay. I do, and it's the Vipco one.
Right.
So I think that coloured my opinion going in as well, because I bought a few of them after Vipco went bust, because they were sort of selling them off like a quid.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons I wasn't too excited about it is because it just doesn't look very compelling at all, because all the front covers look exactly the same.
Yeah, that was a big thing with Vipco. I don't understand why they would do that.
No.
Like, at least 21st Century... Like, 23rd Century are a company that are based in Manchester, and they do these really shitty transfers. Mm. But what they do, if the movie's got, like, terrible quality and they can't take a decent still from it, they just get a picture from the internet, and it looks really good. And, like, they're a sort of weird grey market company that do, like... they released Night of the Creeps 3, but called it Demon House.
Okay.
And so they do stuff like that, and it's it's weird, but it's definitely fucking better than Vipco. Even like Dead of Night and other companies that look have sort of a similar aesthetics to Vipco managed to not be so terrible looking, like boring.
I mean, I guess that's why they went bust though, wasn't it? Because they were
shit. Well,
they were pretty much all vanilla discs.
Yeah, and they cut films as well for no reason at all. Like House at the Edge of the Park was cut pretty heavily.
Yeah,
and that had been released uncut for years before that.
Is that House at the Edge of the Park? I'm not thinking of the right one. That's the one with David Hess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's basically where he plays Krug again.
Yeah, it's a good film though.
Yeah, it's great.
But not their version. Their version was the one I saw first, and I rebought the Shameless. The recent release that they did recently, I said that a lot. the difference is pretty immense. Like they cut a lot, from certain films.
Well, that's what they did. I don't understand why. It's like a horror distribution company for people who don't like horror films.
Yeah, it did just feel really lazy. Like they couldn't really be bothered. They weren't doing it for the fans. They were just doing it to try and get money.
Yeah,
like,
and that's
there's
why
no love behind it.
I think that's why companies like Shameless, particularly Shameless, because like Shameless are a British company who've had to sort of deal with Vipco being the company that were releasing most of these films that they're now releasing mm-hmm. For a long time, and so I think that's why Shameless are putting such massive effort with everything that they release.
Yeah.
I wish we were on. Like, it sounds a bit like I'm a Shameless fanboy. And I wish we were like on their payroll as like marketing for them, because we talk about them so much, but we're really not. I just fucking love it. Yeah. Well, it's because they're just putting so much good stuff out there.
Well, yeah. You can tell the effort that's gone into it, though. It just,
I mean, even
really
Anchor Bay are doing
difference.
some good stuff as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they might do 10 Evil Dead releases every year, but I mean, some of the other stuff is fine.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no need for them to re-release Evil Dead every 2 months, though, or whatever it is that they do. It's fucking shameless. Ha!
Right, so...
Alright, let's get back to this fucking...
Let's do that. Have you got any idea what any of the poster means? What does the first new horror creature even mean? What does that sentence mean?
The first new horror creature? Well... I don't know what it meant when I wrote it, but it definitely sounds like something that I would say.
It really does. Like, that makes no sense to me.
No.
And also, just the little come prepared tagline. Prepared for what? For this guy to be
a bit drippy
now again.
I guess it's meant to be like, be afraid, but it's not.
It's not at all.
It's so not.
Yeah, so even sort of from the poster...
It's a shit.
And I think it was in the bottom 100 on IMDb at one point. I'm not sure if it still is.
It definitely deserves to have like at least a summer home there. At least if it doesn't get like permanent residence there. So the music is, or like the incidental music or the score is one of the worst scores I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, despite being like weirdly, I guess it feels like a 50s film, like a remake of a 50s film or something.
Yeah,
like it's just like
a sort of, I don't know, like they've tried to go the classic creature feature route, but it just somehow went wrong.
Yeah,
very wrong.
And like the music is so bad. And there's like this weird disco bit and like bits where he's just dicking around on a keyboard. And then other bits where it's like, oh, remember that film Jaws? Let's do that. And then, oh, it's so, so bad. I mean, I don't know how fervently I can stress this. And I'm sorry, I know that listener Rag doesn't like it when I just sit here for 40 minutes saying, oh, it's shit on repeat, but...
But really, it's, if you've seen this film, you'd understand. Yeah, there's a little factoid on Wikipedia saying the screenplay was originally intended as a parody of horror films, but comedic scenes were edited out during production and new horror scenes added.
I can't imagine where any comedy would live in this
no,
film.
No.
Maybe, like, the bit where George Costanza's parents come in. And
yeah,
just be Jewish
fuck?
All over the screen for like 20 fucking minutes.
Was it that long?
I don't know. It felt like the seventh circle of hell. Which I assume is quite a long time.
Yeah. But they say, yeah, it says the director claims that the producers decided during shooting that a straight horror film would be more financially successful and that the film suffered as a result. So is that basically the director saying, it's shit, I know it's shit, it's not my fault, the producers did it. That's basically what that is, isn't it?
What else did he direct? Let's judge him for other things.
Okay.
Right. Galaxina, I've seen that. It's basically Barbarella.
You do surprise me. Wow.
Answering
career.
Captain Cornelius Butt.
What is that? Where have you found that?
That's on Galaxina.
Okay. Oh, he was a co-producer on Leprechaun.
Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah.
He wrote Exterminator 2, which I haven't seen, but I've seen Exterminator 1.
I think it was just called Exterminator.
I love the Exterminator. Because the cover, right, has got this really muscly guy who's not that muscly in the film. It's got this really muscly guy wearing a helmet and holding a big, like, I think it might be Gatling gun, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Exterminator. There's this huge Schwarzenegger-sized, muscly guy holding this big gun. So if you put your thumb over his head, it might as well be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh no! I saw that. You posted a picture.
Yeah, the tagline is "If you're lying, he'll be back."
Yeah.
Or if you're lying, I'll be back, or whatever. It's just like shameless. I fucking love it. It makes me so happy.
Oh, there's also a thing here saying makeup artist Rick Baker provided the gory makeup effects for the film. He originally created 4 distinct stages of makeup design, so the antagonist would appear to gradually melt, but the stages were ultimately cut from the final film. So that makes a lot of sense.
But it's like he melts loads in a step up. He starts off
and then
like
stops.
Somehow still having a moustache, despite being all burnt and stuff. And then like that melts away, and then he melts and melts and melts, and then like 15, 20 minutes into the film, maybe half an hour, he just stops melting until the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a zombie film, but with one zombie. Like, running around, knocking the heads off people who try and fly fish in a lake, which is not even a lake, in a tiny river, which you can't fly fish in.
I forgot he decapitated Bill Gates.
He definitely decapitates Bill Gates.
That was probably the peak of the action, I would say. If you can call it action at all.
Yeah. I mean, the effects are pretty great.
Yeah.
He's gooey as shit. There's a bit where you see like someone's gnarled face from the side, like you see it from the top, but you just catch like the edge of the gnarly grimness. And that looks brilliant, and I think that's even like really clever directing, because like it just gives you the tiniest taste and you're like, what the fuck does it look like on the other side? That's amazing. But that's the one like glimmer of hope in this fucking atrocity of a film.
It's too dark as well.
And they're right, do you know the bit with the old Jewish couple?
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that they're going, oh, we're going to be late, we should probably buy them something. Like, it's a completely innocuous conversation, but they're like, well, we should buy them something because to make up for being late, let's buy them some sweets. And we can't buy them sweets, you can't give sweets to a pregnant lady. Let's go buy a bottle of wine.
I know what I'd rather have.
Well, yeah, but they're like, if you can't give sweets to a pregnant lady, why are you giving her wine? My fucking God. I know things were different in the 70s, but Jesus.
Yeah. Who knows? That bit was just so poorly handled.
I actually had gotten so bored by, like, the hour mark that I was playing, like, rubber pen with my pen that I was using to make notes. Like, yeah. There's just so many pointless scenes of people doing boring stuff. I don't want to watch the main character's wife knit for 10 minutes.
That was tremendously boring.
It really was. And like, I understand, right, that they're trying to build tension, but they completely missed. Like, there is no tension. There's a guy who looks a bit gooey, stood in the garden while you're knitting. It's boring. Move on.
Yep.
It's bad. It's a bad film.
I think I'm sort of getting to the point where I'm sick of talking about it now. Shall we?
Yeah.
Shall we wrap
this up?
Come
on, do you want to do your wrap up?
Not really. It sucked. It really did. I mean, if it weren't for the makeup effects, which we've talked about quite a lot already, it would have been unwatchable. It was almost unwatchable as it was.
It's just boring is the problem.
Yeah, if you are going to watch it, watch the Mystery Science Theatre episode, because that does actually make it bearable. It's very funny. But like you say, it's the sort of stuff they say are the sort of things you might have already been thinking whilst watching it anyway. I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again. I hope I'm not going to watch it again. I hope I don't forget.
I can't imagine. Maybe after like a pretty severe bump on the head.
Maybe.
Like, go on. What's your grade? What's your score?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to give it a 3, but that's almost purely for the effects, which were fantastic.
I would agree. I'd give it a 3 as well.
Okay.
The effects are really great, but they do nothing to elevate it from... It's boring, it's badly paced, there's anti-smoking propaganda, there's rubbish people shouting their own name and other people's names on repeat for ages. Like, nobody dies hardly.
No.
One guy gets his head knocked off, a couple get killed in a car. What else happens?
He scares some children.
He definitely scares some children. And Frankenstein, fuck off. That bit just really annoyed me. It's like the bit, do you know, in Them?
Yeah.
Where she's like, them. Like, you were so scared you forgot the word ants. Like, no. It's a giant gooey monster. He doesn't look anything like Frankenstein. Fucking stupid child. Can't even smoke right. Like, it's 3 out of 10, and that's generous. And
that
I don't feel like being
me.
Generous.
It surprises me that you've gone as high as 3, to be honest, given that you only gave Body Melt 4, and you didn't complain about that half as much.
Do you know what, then? You're right. 2.
That seems fairer.
Yeah, 2. 2. Okay. Number 2 is what this film is. It's a giant number 2. On the face of cinematic history.
Yeah, pretty much. That's done! We never have to watch it again! Yay.
That's thank fuck for that, as good wordings that I'm doing.
You've been doing pretty well for the rest of the episode. It's about time.
Yeah. Jesus.
I'm
sorry that everyone had to hear me rant for like 20 minutes. Fucking terrible film. But it's fine, because next week we're going to do The Stuff.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, spoiler alert. We like this film.
I'm pretty sure I've already said that anyway.
Yeah.
We are more excited about that one.
Yeah. But if you've got any Melt recommendations, there aren't that many Melt films. I've been really watching some. I've counted, 12 at the most?
12, wow, I didn't get that high. Well, I guess we'll talk about that in the wrap-up
show.
That's
being
anyway.
a bit loose with it as well. I'm going to include the 80s blob in there.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that some in the monthly wrap-up, I guess.
Yeah, it's fun though getting to go back and watch some of them, and like obviously some that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Obviously Slime City Massacre only came out like a few years ago, and I've never got around to seeing it. So
okay.
I'm stoked on watching that. I'm going to try and watch it before the wrap-up show.
Cool.
Oh,
it's going to be the same then.
Yeah. But for now, let's just give you all the stuff that you need to do. Obviously, go to gorepress.com and read all the reviews and competitions and fun stuff happening over there. You can always go on facebook.com/gorecast and like us and find out some stuff, find out what's happening next in the world of the Gorecast.
Yeah.
You can do the same on Twitter, but I'm a little bit more active on that, so you might get trailers and like capture reviews and stuff on there too, which is twitter.com at GorecastX, whatever it is. And you can follow me on Twitter at underscore dangerous, and you at sentimented. And obviously, you're going to send us feedback at podcast@gorecast.com. Did I already say that bit?
I don't know. It's worth reiterating.
Yeah, do it. Send us some of that.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with our discussion of the 80s. new classic. Now,
I'm burning houses, I'm molten granite, a liquid planet, it is a homeless soul. I'm from the planet, my earth is solid, I feel a presence, but there is nothing at all. I wanted something, down here is something, it's really something.
I had it.